Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Turn you up, baby.
It's a scary day. I'm going to have to turn my voice up.
What's going on with you?
Age on your side. I'm doing well.
Say something, Sonny.
That's pretty much the way it'd have to be if you can't hear me. No, it's been good. It's a nice busy day, busy week. I'm glad it's done. Told you I'm tired this week. I just I obviously don't, you know, I don't think you get over the COVID thing within the first couple of days. I mean, I definitely feel like a million bucks compared to what I felt like, that's for sure. But I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's what it's from, but what the hell do I know? I ain't no doctor.
Man.
What's going on?
You know, like our premier like announced more closings.
Oh
today.
My god, I heard you guys. Jesus.
But you, so the all honest truth is, because I live in Peel, I don't understand what the new things mean at all. I think they mean exactly the same thing for me. You know? Like, I don't think anything's changed at all for me. Like, zero.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I lost you there. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. So what do you mean?
No. I literally, nothing's changed for me. Like, Peel was gray. We've always been gray. So we've always been in this mostly.
Have you guys
lockdown.
Ever come out?
We just don't come out, period. Like, you know, I think I've been to a physical grocer once in the last 5 weeks.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Well, then,
you can go to the grocery, right? So people are doing it. They're, you know, they go, they come home, but that's really the extent of it. We like our retailers open for the first time in February. Like, you know,
it's hard for us out west to understand because we're not in the same world that you guys are in Ontario and or Quebec. Like, we're just not. I mean, we really haven't been on any closed lockdowns, really.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've sort of always been open. You guys are like shut down.
We literally were shut down. And
like
then,
no restaurants, in or out.
Nope, none. And then beginning of whenever that was, I think it was like just after Valentine's Day or something like that, we opened like Feb 18th or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We opened back up. Restaurants are still takeout only, but they allowed open. They allowed outdoor dining.
Excuse me.
And then retailers were allowed a quarter of the occupancy, I think is the number. So that's what they were allowed, right? So that was like just barely a month ago, you know. Like a month ago.
It's
right?
so different.
These guys all got ramped
through.
Up. They brought people back. You know, and now, like, but when we went, we were at like just under 1,000 positive tests a day. And now we're at 2,400 or 2,500 or the number's like, the number's stupid, right? Like our numbers are.
Well, and I'm assuming it's obviously because you're obviously testing more, but you're always testing more because people are feeling, I'm assuming, just more symptomatic. It's not just a function of what it was.
Yeah.
You know, like in August when we're saying, well, we're already testing 100 a day, we're testing 1,000. I mean, I get that. But yeah. I don't think anybody's getting tested right now unless they feel like they need to be tested. So I'm assuming that it's following the fact that people probably feel like shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going in to get checked, right?
Yeah. And then like all the regions went to all these different colors. Like, so Ottawa, for example, was orange, which meant you could dine in. So a quarter, if you could let in a quarter of the capacity of the restaurant for dine in. And they went back to gray even before this lockdown. Like almost every region in Ontario that went, you know, even the ones up north, like Sudbury and Thunder Bay, like all these guys that were like, oh, you know, it's all, we don't have it here. It's only in Toronto. All right. of them went right back. Like they literally went to open and they went right back to closed again. Like we can't keep this thing, you know, no, under wraps.
You can't cut a break, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what it is anymore. I don't know. I mean, because we're all going to use the same excuses. We're all tired. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And just so you know, we're all clear. I mean, I've had it. I don't wish it upon anybody. It's not that fun. So honestly, like, it's not something that I think you should take lightly. I mean, it's pretty serious. I think the problem that we're having is probably the same problem we have out here, is that it's this back and forth. You're thinking, Christ almighty, just close or open. Like, just do one or the other. But shit that if you don't know if you're open today or are you open to, like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, someone just call it. Right. But maybe we just got to learn to listen. I don't know what it is, Phil. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this either. I really don't. I don't get it.
Man. Anyway.
It's just making it hard for business too, though, right? I mean.
Yeah. 100% it is. Yeah.
And I just don't know how long we can all go on like this.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're really just trying to outrun. We're trying to outrun it now, right? With the vaccines.
Yeah, but how are your restaurants going to outrun it when they're closed?
I don't know.
How are your small independents, anything in Ontario, especially, or Quebec? How are you guys going to outrun it? I mean, at least ours are open. Like, we can go to a restaurant tomorrow night. We can go out.
But they're
outside
doing
takeout,
though. But they're doing takeout.
I understand that. But after a while, how many meals do you want to eat at home from someone else's food?
No.
Even novelty wears out.
But I think for the restaurants, they're figuring it out now. Like, I actually think that they're starting to, you know, because the ones that we frequent, the, like, not the chains, but the local guys, they're doing all right. Like, they're, you know, I mean, they're always, you ask them, they're always going to say they can do better.
But if you're not paying staff,
like, you know.
See, again, though, right? So how do you do better? Well, you just do takeout. What does that mean? Well, I can cut my staff in half, right? Because I don't need them. That's great. But what are those staff going to do?
Yeah. I agree.
Do they get to eat? Do they get to work? Yeah. Or?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree with you. I don't know. It's almost like you
no, I don't know.
It's like the lesser of two evils, right? It's like, do they close and like the business goes under, or do you, you know, try and save, you can't save everybody. Like, who do you save? Right.
I don't know.
We're literally into the price of, you know, the price of survival now, which is kind of crazy. So,
Oh, this whole thing's insane. But well, anyway, it's been a year and a bit now, I guess, for, I don't know. I just don't know, my friend. I just don't know.
I don't know.
Anyhow, what else is going on?
Man, you sent me an article this week.
Oh, because it pissed me off. it just pissed me off. Right? Because it's just something we've talked about so often. And now it's like the media just all of a sudden wakes up and so just so people know what Phil and I are talking about. I think I was on LinkedIn because I don't use many other mediums. So I was on LinkedIn and I think I bumped into a Financial Post article that basically was
five big reasons behind suppliers mutiny against Canadian big grocers.
Exactly, right?
Canada's big grocers.
Yeah. And just so everybody's clear, in the country, the big grocers that we have in the country are obviously Loblaws and Walmart are your two biggest grocers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Costco's massive and so is Sobeys and a few others. But there's been this thing for the last couple years, especially. I mean, it's been like this for a long time. But I'll tell you what I think started it. So what do I think happened is that in the old days, when you didn't have a lot of alternatives, I think most of the industry, the supplier side, would just suck up to the fact that retailers ask for a lot of money. And Phil and I will go through some of the things that this article talked about, some of the different buckets that retailers like to fill. And there's a bunch that they didn't talk about filling on this thing, which we could talk about as well.
They missed a whole bunch of them.
They missed a whole bunch of big buckets. And this is where I wanted to clarify this too, because it pisses me off a game when they should just learn to ask people, because some of the other buckets are even more offensive than the buckets that they've talked about here. But I mean, it's typical. What happens is that when there wasn't a lot of online options and there wasn't so few retailers to choose from, you pay to play with people, but there's a lot of people you could play with that didn't cost you an arm and a leg, right? As you start to amalgamate and consolidate, you get less and less. And now you've got a few big players owning most of the grocery market in the country. And they know that. Mm-hmm. And they've really put the screws to suppliers to basically, really and truly, in essence, to not only provide a decent cost so that the retailer can go out at a retail and make money, but they expect the supplier to, in essence, that margin is basically, I guess, a given. I don't know what else to say. And then there's a whole bunch of other money that we just want from you because it costs us to open our doors. Therefore, you should pay to have us open the doors. And this year, brutally more so because of COVID, you know, like Loblaws, I think, is saying that they're $1.5 billion behind because of all the COVID initiatives they've had to take to plexiglass and security and yada, 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 right?
Except behind is a relative term, right?
Behind is always a relative
term. Behind their profit.
Behind what their shareholders probably want, what the owners want. Behind,
yeah.
It's they're just behind it from what maybe they expected or what they showed. I don't really care what it is either. They're not losing money. There's nobody going bankrupt in that situation there.
Yeah.
Right. But what they do is they expect the suppliers to sit there and just keep taking it on the chin. So I don't know if you want to go through this article, Phil, if you want to just hit the highlights of it.
The article kind of goes through a bunch of things.
So this is just so everybody knows. It's a March 30th, 2021, a Financial Post article. So 2 days ago, it says, I just opened it up to you. It's a 5-minute read. It's not a complicated read.
We'll put the link in the
episode. Put the link on.
As well.
Right?
Yeah.
And what even sort of precipitated this article, I know, is the Sobeys president, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. And it's tip of my tongue, it's not going to come. But anyway, the Sobeys president a couple months ago basically did write a letter. What's his name?
Mark Poulin.
Okay. So Mark comes out and actually sends a letter to the trade, in essence to the public, basically saying that, you know, Sobeys is going to be one of these retailers that's going to try not to have this adverse, just always in the trenches fighting against each other relationship with their suppliers, because what they were saying is, listen, we're going to view our suppliers as exactly what they are. They're partners in our success, and we need them to be healthy and profitable, and we need to treat them respectfully so that they treat us respectfully, which started a lot of people in the industry going, well, you know what, that's great. There's just words and this and that, but he's penned it a few times now. And to the point where the Financial Post and a few others are actually talking about it. And I think Sobeys is going to get some good traction out of this potentially. If they do stand with what they're saying, which was trying to treat the supplier side just a little more respectfully, I guess is the only word I can say. If you're not in the industry, it might be tough. You might just think, well, it's just, they're being crybabies.
Yeah.
But I think you really need to understand or appreciate how brutal. So
here's a good way. I think this is a good way to break this down so that it's not too high levels. And you let me know whether this makes sense. As usual, Kenny and I didn't prep, but I think, like, let's take,
sure, we did. I read the article.
Let's take a brand new product, for example.
I say, right? Go back to the prep part. I read the article. You read the article. That's like huge prep. I was like studying.
Okay.
Holy shit, man. Are you kidding? We're way ahead.
Okay. All right.
My God. I even posted the article in front of me.
Let's say we make Kenny and Phil's barbecue sauce. Okay. Yep. So Kenny and Phil get together. We make a barbecue sauce. You know, like, you guys have known us. You know, it's been like 3 years together. You know, we figure we can make barbecue sauce. So we make a barbecue sauce, and let's fast forward a little bit. So you and I, we go to farmers markets. We do all of that stuff. We figure out that this barbecue sauce is the shit. Like, this is the one that kicks ass. Yeah. We now want to get this into grocery stores so that, you know, everybody can buy it. Right.
Right. Because we've also been told by consumers. So it's not just Phil and I.
People love
our barbecue sauce.
Right.
We're priced properly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We are going to make some money. We understand this game to some degree.
Yeah.
So we're in a good spot, right? We're not too, we get this industry.
Yeah. But okay. So let's do a little, because I think this is where you kind of go, holy shit. Right. Like, and I think as, if you're not in the industry and you are a consumer, this is also where you go, holy shit, right? Because these are those things that you wonder, you know, everyone grumbles, right? Because groceries are getting a little more expensive. It's always a little bit more expensive. And sometimes it's justified. And sometimes then you wonder why, right? And, you know, some of this is, you know, why, right? So, so if Kenny and I, for example, we sell this stuff and it's great, you know, people love it. And we decide, hey, we think we've got something here. Let's figure out where, like, what grocery stores we can go to. There's kind of like a whole host of little independent guys that we could show up at. If we go to the independent guys, they would say, yeah, great. I need to make, you know, X number of margin on the product. Off you go onto the shelf and here we go. So we start selling and we think this is pretty cool. But, you know, the independents are probably like, 5% of the market, maybe. We'd like to get a little bit bigger. Kenny and I want to make some real do-re-mi. So we start looking. And so really, as soon as you start looking past the independents, there's probably like, there's Loblaws, there's Walmart, there's Sobeys, and Costco.
Costco. And then we'll stretch it out because there's a few more. There's Metro.
Okay, Metro.
There is Save On Foods, the overweighty food coupon here. Federated Co-op. Just so people understand, I mean, we're going to struggle now. We're in struggle mode now, right? Because now after that, now we're into regionals. So if you're a BC listener, now you can talk IGA, Quality Foods, Thrifties. I'm assuming if you're in Ontario, you're talking who?
Highland Farms, Longo's.
All those guys have been... Well, so are some of our guys here, but they're still run as independents. So this Longo's is fair. Okay. Longo's.
Big Apple.
Okay.
It gets small fast, right?
Well, like, then you're your Rabba's like we would be out here, right? You're starting Flabby to play.
Brothers, you know, things like that.
Just so people understand, I mean, once you get past sort of number seven, I think on our list, little list here was I think Federated Co-op. Like you are really starting to get.
Well, we talked about 80% of the market, right?
Maybe even a bit more.
So let's take the top three, which probably make up 60% of the market. So let's go Loblaws, Walmart, Sobeys. It'd be pretty close, 50 to 60% of the market.
Closer to 60.
Yeah.
Than 50.
And like, just so you know, right? Like there's some complications in this where depending on who you are, we named Costco in here. And so from a pure dollar perspective, Costco's in the share, but some people would not count them because they're a membership, et cetera. So let's just leave them out.
For argument's sake, it doesn't matter. Those three are your big guns.
Sobeys, Loblaws, and Walmart. So let's say that's 60%. That is pretty close to 60% of your market. I would say
it's got to be in there,
So if we want to make do-re-mi, we got to go to those guys and say, we'd really please, sir, we'd like to be in.
Sir is a nice way to say it. It's a little harder than that, but that's okay, sure.
Yeah.
Like that's going to get you anywhere.
Right. And so let's break that down a little bit more and let's say we go to Loblaws, right?
That's where most people start.
Yeah. And so you would start Loblaws and you would say, hey, Loblaws, we want to be in your stores. We think we can make you good margin. We think that, we know that the customer really loves this product and we're in a bunch of independents. We can show you some proof that we're there. And they would go, cool. That sounds good. All right. Let's bring you in. And you'd go, awesome. What do I do now? And they would say, okay, well, first of all, you've got to pay me what they call a listing fee. Right. And a listing fee is simply that. It's you're going to pay us the labor it takes to literally list your product in our system and then get you into our stores, because there's a labor cost of putting you on shelf, the tags, the making
where
of
to
space,
put you. Someone has to build the schematic. It's like building a house. You got to say, this is where the bathroom is going to go. Well, this is where our barbecue sauce is going to go. It's going to go next to these barbecue sauces in all stores.
Yeah.
Now the stores have to change shelving potentially too. Some products go in, some products go out, but there is a labor component to it. Right. Just so everybody's clear. So it's not a matter of just, you know, someone says yes and they click a button. There is a process. You got to get everything in, your item number, vendor setup, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Now,
the fun part is when I tell you how much it cost you to have that lovely privilege.
So it's generally like, I don't know if I'm dated here, but it's, I remember the cost being somewhere around the $35,000 range. Is it more than that now?
Oh God. Yeah. It's way more than that.
Oh really?
To get a base. I'm not going to get this right. And I'm sure we'll have some of our friends correct us. I know, for example, like I know that to get into the coffee set, for example, 5 or 6 years ago, to get a national listing of the coffee was $60,000 ask you.
What?
Yeah, that I know. I know right now in, let's say, if you wanted to get into the health set, and just so people understand, if you had a vitamin, not the vitamin set by pharmacy, not that set, the vitamin set in the natural aisle, the one that isn't shopped near as much, and is typically in a Loblaws in the West, it'd be closer to the cheese and to the dairy, not the other side of the store or pharmacy is. To get into that set, it's between $30,000 and $40,000 a SKU. To get into the big set, the real set, that's not a bad way to say it, but it's going to be, I would guess, double.
Okay, so
you're probably $80,000 on one side, $40,000 on the other.
Wow,
coffee's part of coffee's was 64 5 years ago. I would assume a barbecue sauce today, I bet she's going to be close to 50 for sure.
You're making me lightheaded.
Everybody knows. So Phil and I have that one flavor barbecue sauce, which we don't, by the way, because you know what? Phil and I are pretty creative people. We have three flavors of the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
We've got regular, we've got a spicy. And then we kind of got like a smoky ones. We got three really cool flavors. So to do the basic math, we knock on Loblaw's door. And just so you're careful, Phil, too. If you knock on Loblaw's door, the implication is that you've accepted the listing fee.
Right.
Not that they're negotiating.
And quite honestly, Kenny and I are playing this role, but even as savvy veterans, right? It is how the conversation goes, right? Is you would show up and if we didn't know what we were doing, they would maybe not because they're shady, just because they take it for granted, is the conversation would really go, yeah, okay, we'll take you, right? And you know,
three SKUs, man. Are you kidding me? I got three SKUs into Loblaws. Three SKUs into Loblaws.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then immediately when they hit you with that, I actually have worked with brands where we've had to exit gracefully because they didn't understand what they were getting themselves into. So there was a keto brand probably 4 or 5 years ago. I wasn't really doing this for real, but it was a friend of a friend, and she called and said, "Listen, I just got listed at Loblaws," and I went, "That's amazing." And she said, "I'm not sure what all this means. Can you read the email?" And so when she sent me the email, it took me almost a half an hour to call her back because I didn't know how to tell her, right? Because I knew her circumstances, right? So she would be just like us, right? And so let's say, so here's how it plays out, right? So Kenny and I are selling to independents, you know, we're making some good profit margin because, you know, we understand retail, we understand costs and everything like that. So we probably make a pretty good margin. Let's say with all the independents, we probably have like conservatively somewhere like 8 to 10,000 in cash sitting around, right? Because, you know, we've invested wisely, we've figured out the manufacturing, you know, neither of us have gone out and bought Teslas and things like that because, you know, we're crazy. But the email that you would get is, great, so now that you've accepted and you're in, it's going to cost you, I don't know. I mean, the numbers that we spun here. So it's anywhere between.
Well, in our world right now, it'd probably be about $150,000 to get these three SKUs.
Yeah.
These three items.
So like 50 grand a SKU.
Lobs store.
Three SKUs. So, yeah. So if you've all fallen off your chair, we're not done here, there yet. Okay. So first it's going to cost you 50 grand, just 50 grand a SKU to get these into the 2000 Loblaws stores all over
Canada. Oh no, that's not, I don't know if that's full listing. That might've really? Been, no, that might've been just our real Canadian like superstores. Probably not No Frills. Fortino's runs on its own. I'm sorry. Just so you know, I didn't say every Loblaws banner. I didn't say that. You said that. No. I'm telling you, I think we probably just got into all the discount, which is okay. In essence, all the real Canadian superstores. And I don't think No Frills gets counted in that. And I know Fortino's pretty much runs on their own.
So the other explanation there is Loblaws is complicated because Loblaws has a lots of banners. You know, they have the discount banners, they've got kind of the mid-range, they've got high ends. And so when you get into these, it's up to the buyer's discretion which banners you get into. And so you saw it right there. I dream big dreams. I assumed that 50 grand got me into all 2000 stores.
I just figured we got into about 500 or 600.
Yeah. Okay. So let's split the difference. Let's say we get into 1,000 stores. Cause that's
you're nice still exaggerating, but I love you and you can have that one. Cause unlike what they're really like, I'll give you those 400 stores.
All right.
Never going to get them.
But just so you know that in this conversation, I dream big dreams and Kenny
reality.
Like lives in the gutter because, you know,
this is where Kenny lives.
This might be the degrees of separation that we've had from retail, right? So I've been away a little bit longer. I can afford to dream a little bit.
But I'm still bitter and cynical.
Yeah. So let's say it's 1,000 stores. So now, you know, so you paid 50 grand a SKU to get into 1,000 stores. But
okay, what did you get for that 150 ago?
Nothing.
What did you get, Phil?
Nothing.
No, what did you get? You got an item number.
Yes.
The ability to solicit.
Yes.
Okay, you got a warehouse listing, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just so people know, there's two types of listings, right? You could have a direct-to-store listing, which means you ship from wherever your warehouse is to each individual store.
1,000 stores.
Yeah. Right? Or you are you're going into the Loblaws warehouse. Just so everybody understands, even the other way, there is a listing fees. But right now, what we've paid for is us to be a listed vendor with three item numbers that stores, 1,000 stores are probably going to be allowed to order, or it's going to be forced to order. We're going to have a position on the shelf in the barbecue set somewhere. Mm-hmm. We don't know where. You're not going to pick top shelf. You don't pick bottom. No. You don't pick anything. We could be on the bottom. Yeah. We could be on the top. I don't know where we are, but we're somewhere in 1,000 stores in that set. That's all we've got.
Correct.
How
long
are you allowed in there, Phil? Like how much time? Two, 3 years, 4 years with that money?
No. I thought it's
10 years.
I thought it's a year, maybe 18 months on the
air. There's no guarantee. That's your answer.
Yeah.
So basically what you've bought, you've hoped you've bought about a year.
Yeah.
Maybe a year and now, but there's no guarantees.
Yeah. Performance.
You don't get a chance.
We'll generate, we'll tell you what.
Right.
Most likely.
Right. But realistically, the answer is you didn't buy, you have no time. Probably a year.
Yeah.
So maybe a year and a half.
So we did a happy dance. Then we had a heart attack. And then now we're scrambling because we're 150 in the hole, right?
Right.
We probably got about, honestly, it's a gut feel, but I think it's like 8 to 10 grand in cash. Maybe.
If
you're responsible for that, right? Like, for a small brand, you know, independent.
Let's pretend that we're really small. No. Let's pretend we're really small. And what they've allowed us to do is not have to pay any cash. Okay. Let's go out on the limb and say, wow, okay, you know what? So what we've got in the mail or in an email is a piece of paper saying, awesome guys, welcome to our family of lovely stores. $150,000 is what you owe us. You don't have to cut us check, but you owe us this money. Can we do that? So no cash out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Not necessarily realistic, folks, but let's pretend.
Yeah. So now you're just waking up every night in cold sweat because you now owe the biggest retailer in Canada, the country, 150 grand.
And you've gotten no sales. But you haven't started yet.
Not done, because then the next thing that shows up is the supply chain analyst who says, listen, so you're in 1,000 stores,
yeah,
3 SKUs, and I'm going to need 6 bottles of each product on every shelf, not including, you know, probably 2 or 3 times that number in warehouse fill, so that, you know, during barbecue season and these things start flying off the shelf, I can replenish, right? So at this very moment, Ken and Phil are going, what the fuck? This is more barbecue sauce than we've ever made in our lives, right? We've never seen this many bottles. We're like creme brulee guy, right?
Creme brulee guy.
Yeah. Can somebody give us bottles? Yeah. Like, we need 1 million bottles, right? You know, so now you are scrambling to figure out, how do I find, 3 times 1,000.
Just so you know, though, too, can we make comfortable? We're not going in tomorrow morning, right? The planogram's not going to, we're talking, it's April 1st today.
Yeah.
The planogram's not launching until August 1st. Okay. So we've got April, May, June, July. We've got 4 months before that first big order. We got time. We were very fortunate. We're going to miss barbecue season a little bit, but we're fortunate.
So just to fill the shelves at all 1,000 Loblaw stores is 18,000 bottles, right?
Plus.
That's probably more than Kenny and I've ever made of this entire lineup, our entire time together. And that is probably easily double the number that we've sold through any independent, the independents double. That we have. Oh my God. Yeah, at least.
That might be as much as we've actually sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two years to date.
That doesn't include the warehouse, would then be like kind of 3 times that number to make sure that you had enough stock.
Which warehouse, Phil? Are you assuming it's one location or is it?
At 1,000 stores, you're probably at 2 warehouses, right?
Maybe 3.
Possibly 3.
You might be two in the west, 1 in the east, maybe 1 in Quebec.
Yeah. And
potentially now that's 4 warehouses.
And we haven't talked about logistics costs or anything. So I'm actually just going to leave that because my brain's going to fry.
Yeah.
If I start thinking about that. So,
let's pretend now, it's actually all going to Ontario. It's all going to the main warehouse.
Okay. So we're at 18,000 bottles times 3. So we're at 54,000 bottles of barbecue sauce.
And they're probably not going to do that. They'll probably be nicer than that. Just so you know, just so we make it too dire. It's probably double.
Okay.
So you're probably going to need about 36,000 bottles on that first order. Yeah. That's probably what you're going to need. You might want to build another 18, because if it does start to take off, and basically what Loblaws is probably going to want is at least 3 to 4 bottles a month.
Yeah.
So if you have got 12, you know, 6 going in and 6 in reserve, you know, you might be looking to say, listen, you know, the next order might be October 1. Just so we're mentally thinking, we've got to build.
So what do we got now, Kenny?
So I'm thinking we got about 36,000 bottles that have to be ready for the August 1.
Yeah.
And then I think we should have another 36,000 planned for the 5 months after that to take us to the end of the year.
Okay.
So I think we need 54,000 to 72,000 bottles.
Okay. So we're $150,000 in the hole. We are leveraged up to our nipples in finances now, because we literally have sacrificed our livers, our organs to get to 50,000, 60,000 bottles of barbecue sauce.
Can we supply any of the guys that we already had, or are they done now? Because do you have any money to, you know, those guys that we sold the first, I mean, it took us 2 years to sell 18,000 bottles.
Yep.
But those 9,000 bottles a year, do you want to include? Because I'm assuming we want to continue filling them.
Yeah.
Just drop that?
Yeah. Well, we would like that if Loblaws doesn't kill that business, right? Because
we don't know that. So we still need to produce that 10 or 12,000 boxes, right? Or
because in some cases, the independents are in the same place as Loblaws. And then they're probably selling our barbecue sauce for about $3 more than what Loblaws is going to sell it for, right? So
so we could lose all that business.
So you're going to lose some of it for sure. Maybe not all of it, but some of it for sure.
But we still need to build. So yeah. It's not, it could be 54 to 72 or maybe 62 to 85,000
yeah. bottles. Yeah, we might somewhere need. In there. Somewhere in there. Okay. Now, we're up to our eyeballs now in debt. We're up to our eyeballs in barbecue sauce. We haven't sold anything. And so these are going to make their way onto shelves, but that's it, right? Like we don't have anything else going on now, right? We don't, like, how is the Loblaw shopper going to know, like, what are there, something like a couple of hundred different barbecue sauces on Loblaw shelves?
Let's say there's just 20 brands.
Okay.
There's 10 yeah. brands, six bottles per brand. That's 60 bottles.
So now you still got to announce your presence somehow, right?
Well, they'd have that for you though. No, but they take care of that for you.
Okay.
They got co-op.
Hey, I like this because now Loblaws has thought of an advertising plan for me, right?
Right.
So, Kenny, I'd like to get into co-op. What will it cost me to get into co-op?
Well, I'm glad that you would like to get into co-op, Phil. I appreciate that. But so just so you know, quite frankly, there's really not going to be much choice on this one. You're going to participate in the co-op program.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
But program.
I want promotion too. So
sure
I'm okay with this. Let's do this. Like, what is
so
this
what that'll give you is I'm going to suggest that we probably look at an ad might be tough to start because nobody's going to really know you. So I don't know if we want to do an ad, but definitely mm-hmm. what we should do is do some sort of temporary price reduction, Phil, maybe for September. Should we do like, I think the retail of our product's going to be what, let's say $5.99.
Yeah.
Should we feature it maybe for $4.99 a bottle?
Yeah.
Reduction on shelf.
Good. Like, yeah. Is that, so you guys are, so you Loblaws are willing to take the margin on that, and then so
we'll do for you is we'll help you. We'll get you to the $4.99
okay.
from $5.99.
Okay.
You just owe us $1 plus some small fees because we have to process someone has to go count this and there's till tapes. Oh, maybe there's computers today, but maybe the computers will be down. So there's a cost, like there's an admin charge. So probably about $1.15-ish for every bottle that you sell. Is what you owe us, but we'll give you a $4.99 retail. Give you a little sign out there.
We don't do signs
anymore.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're going to be on our webpage with a slash on the $5.99 saying $4.99.
Okay.
And
all right.
I don't know, Phil, if September is a free month for new people. It might be $5,000-$10,000 to do that. On top of the $1.15 that I'm going to charge you,
but there's still a cost to do a flyer.
So. Oh, absolutely. Just because we don't chop trees down and use paper anymore doesn't mean we've stopped using paper, theoretically. So those costs from the days of old, when all we had was television and newspaper and print, we've maintained and held on to those costs, even though you could do this all yourself on Instagram, Facebook, Google words yourself, but you're going to still have to do that. But we don't care. We want the $1.15 per unit plus 10 grand for the privilege of participating in that month thing, because I have to not put signs up in the store and not do anything for your product. But so you're basically now into me for $150,000 in listing fees, $10,000 for the first ad. If you sell, Phil, 10,000 bottles, you will owe me another about 12 grand worth of margin protection because I gave you $1 off, but I don't want to pay for that. I don't think I should have to lose that dollar. We let you in our store, remember? I mean, come on. The least you could do is show up and protect that dollar degradation in my margin because, I don't have the money.
Yeah.
$70-80 billion company, buddy. We're barely making it through the day.
So it's
COVID's killing us, Phil. COVID's killing us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so
COVID's killing us.
So we're kind of like, okay, let's see what else haven't we covered yet? So we got listing fees.
Are you gonna do that or not? So you're gonna do your September?
Yeah.
What Maybe we should do a December too. You know why? It's what busy time. Condiments are huge.
Get it to 80,000 bottles, right? Like I got to move this stuff, right?
But you're okay. So you got your 150,000 plus two $10,000 hits plus the 10,000. So you're into me going for about 190, 195 is what you should close 2021 with based on orders coming in from August 1 to December 31.
My hope is that this is enough, right? Because I don't actually have any more. So my hope is that this is enough to get me through and that the performance of the product at this point generates enough that it will actually make it, right? Yeah. Like that it's going to, you know, that the buyer next year is going to go, you know what? You're not in the bottom 10. So some of those guys are going away, but you're going to stay.
Right. Which is great.
You know, it's which great. Is, which is you're, good. It's going to cost you more because I want to feature you more, but you know, but you'll stay.
Right. But I want people now to understand the math, right? So we're into this gig for about $190,000, right? Two TPRs, temporary price reductions, the scan backs on each, the listing fee. Just so everybody knows, this $599 retail product, we are probably making $1 per unit.
Yeah.
Actually, Phil and I are brilliant. We are so freaking smart, it hurts. We are making about $1.75 a bottle.
Which...
Don't tell anybody.
No, don't.
But we're making about $1.75 a bottle. Yeah. So what we need to do to get at least this year's money back is basically sell about 100,000 bottles.
Yeah, about that.
110,000 bottles.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're only going to sell in based on our calculations about 80. But we will get all our money back when we get to about
175.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not 175 because it's $1.75 a bottle is what we make. We only need to sell 110,000 bottles or so.
So now we're still new with this and there's a couple more things to think about. So one is we've never really shipped this many bottles before ever, right? And so, you know, we're pretty clever guys. Hopefully we get this right most of the time. But if, for example, we screw up an appointment or the truck gets a flat tire or the truck gets in an accident, breaks some of the cases. Actually, no, let's leave damages right out of it.
No, don't do damages. We're shipping with the best carriers on the planet.
Let's just say we're shipping with the best carriers of the planet, but there's still an outside chance that they're going to be late. They're going to miss an appointment, whatever. As soon as you do that, Loblaws is going to be like, listen, I have a finely tuned logistics machine that you've now screwed up.
Yeah, because customers are screaming for that product that you now missed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like there's no barbecue sauce on shelf. People are dying because of it. You are going to have to pay us. We're going to fine you because you're non-compliant with our terms.
Yeah.
And so typically those, I think I'm going to be dated on these, but I feel like the terms were like 30 grandish
I think it depends on size of order. I mean, on orders that we're talking here, I don't know if they'd be that high.
Okay.
But I think 5 to 10 grand is probably going to be, because J&J was probably shipping a quarter mil to $500,000 at a time.
Yeah.
Right. I would assume that a $5,000 to $10,000 hit.
Okay.
For the size of orders we have as well could be in order. 30. Well, at that point, it doesn't really matter anymore.
It didn't matter after
the listing fees, but so who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. But I would guess it'd be something like that.
So let's say Kenny and I miss a couple of times in the year. And even then, that's probably like a 2%, 3% miss rate. But let's say we miss a couple of times. That costs us 20 grand in fees. You know, we're going to have to pay them. Otherwise, you know, there's more problems coming.
You miss two, three times a year. We had other worries. Never mind that we're not going to be around.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter about the fines after that.
So let's
not miss two or three times. Let's just say we miss twice.
Okay. So let's
very spread out.
We miss twice. Okay. So now we've got 20 grand more in fines, but let's say everything goes well and we do great. Let's say we survive all this. And in our second year, people really, really love the sauce because we knew that, right? And so they're starting to buy more, they're still starting to sell more. And then Kenny and I go in a store we're looking around a new Loblaw store, and what do we see? We see a President's Choice version of Kenny and Phil's sauce. Except now it's Kevin and Peter's President's Choice sauce.
Sure. And it's at $4.99 every day.
It is. Remember that we're at $5.99. They're at $4.99. So, you know, we kind of go, well, it looks a lot like our sauce, but it probably isn't like our sauce. We take
it's not 100%, but it's pretty close.
We take it home, and it tastes so damn good that it's just, you know, now Kenny and I are thinking about buying Kevin and Peter's sauce for a dollar less than our own sauce, right?
Yeah.
So now, just when we're starting to get on track, and we're starting to, you know, we're keying in on that 175,000 bottles, right? Hopefully we sold all of our 80,000 quota in the first year that we needed. And so we're into year two. And so kind of like 2.5 years in, we'll hit the 175, right? And break even. Except now we're back into, you know, now we're competing against a knockup, a lookalike sauce that is a dollar less. We're probably going to have to up our number of events that are that we're doing, the TPRs that we're doing, things like that, so that we stay super tight to this knockoff sauce, so that we can get it right. So now our number stretches to what, probably.
Because I don't think people are understanding that what we mean by break even, because Phil didn't explain it that clearly. You remember those first orders that were placed and the next five or six is on the books. We owed them probably just slightly north of $200,000 by the time we get talking here. Mm-hmm. We don't get any money until our orders exceed that 200,000.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we may be a year and a half, 2 years in and not see anything, even though we have shipped our 80,000-90,000 bottles. There still may be nothing coming our way.
So we're still on the hook. We've got to pay our suppliers, right? We've got to continue to cover all of our
you got staff. We got all none of the costs went anywhere.
You know, we're you know, and up until the point where you had a knockoff sauce and your right beside you that looks exactly like you, we thought we'd be, you know, two and a half years in, and then we'd actually break even, maybe start to pay ourselves something, and then start to make some money on the brand. But with the knockoff sauce, you might actually be 3 years away now from breaking even,
or potentially further, because what people need to understand too is, when companies go to private label, the first inclination is you must protect private label, because the only place to buy a President's Choice brand or a Western Family brand would be Western Family's Save on Foods. President's Choice is, well, Shoppers now, excuse me, and Superstore. So there's brands that are specific to the stores. They take a lot of value in protecting those brands. So if we're $5.99, they're $4.99. If you want to compete and drop your price to $4.99 to compete with them, they are most likely going to drop their price to $3.99 at the same time you're $4.99, because they can't have a brand screwing up their brand, right? Because our brand can be bought in other stores if we're still in existence.
Yeah.
Their brands are specific to them, so they protect their brands too. So you got to remember, you're fighting that too, right?
And then let's,
and that's just not even the worst case. So the private label, we threw that in there, but it's typically, that's probably not going to happen to about year five or six. You've got to really establish yourself as something pretty skookum before they probably knock us off. Yeah. But the listing fees, the fines happen day one.
Yeah.
The co-op and the ad money that we talked about, the privilege of things, those happen day one.
Mm-hmm.
Those don't wait around for you. Those are things that happen, right? And let's say Phil and I even got really lucky. Even if Phil and I did 150,000 bottles the first year and blew it out of the water. So we're 9 months in and we've paid off the $150,000 in listing fees, right? We've paid off those two $10,000 hits. We finally paid off those other two $10,000 hits in the scam backs, right? So your first check is ready to go. You've got your invoice in. It's April 1. When are you going to get paid, Phil? What would you think is reasonable?
Something like 90 or 180 days.
But I've floated you for the last 9 months, Phil.
Yes. Yeah.
So realistic, so people do understand that the terms right now, if you're small, probably net 90.
Yeah.
189 net 90. And what the 189 means is that I'll pay you early, but I'm taking a percent just on top of what we did because I paid you fast.
1%. So we're going to give you
one. It's probably one.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually probably pretty close to 189 net 90.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. They're going to take a discount most likely, no matter what they do. Let's say they don't. Let's say they're net 90, but 90 days now. So the day that's from the day you decided, Phil and I, we phoned the warehouse or the manufacturer. Okay. Print, go 2 weeks. So they bought all the raw materials, or I should say we bought all the raw materials. They put it in our bottles. They're ready to go. Yeah. They hit the our dock. They get on a truck. They hit their dock. 2 weeks later, by the time it leaves our warehouse, because we're lightning fast, we are super efficient. So the clock starts when? The day it went in our bottle or the day it lands on their dock?
No. Well, the day it lands on their dock is when their clock starts.
So well, that's the only clock that counts. Yeah. The day you invoice didn't mean shit. Yeah. The day it hits them is when the clock starts. So potentially I could be 105 days out before I see payment on that order. And we busted our ass and we got our money back in 9 months.
Yeah.
And we're still going to have to wait 3 more months before we finally see our first check.
Yeah. And you hope the other parts of this, I guess, is that you also hope that there's nothing wrong with the shipment, right?
There's no damages. There's no damages, returns. No, there's no defectives. There's no cases been dropped by somebody. Nothing.
Yeah.
No. We were a perfect order.
Yeah.
We were absolutely spot on perfect.
Yeah.
Spot on perfect.
Just so you know, right? Like so,
because although we're perfect, I may take the percent for damages, just in case.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
So here's So with new guys, it's messy, right? Because Loblaws assumes you're not perfect at your logistics like Loblaws is. And so there are going to be short ships. There's going to be some damages. Maybe you mixed up a flavor. And so Loblaws will come to you and say, listen, if I got to go through and sort out every invoice, I know I got to pay you in 90 days?
Probably about 90 days is what they're going to say, but it's 105 really by the time you add in.
So 105 days, but that's a perfect invoice. So then if I got to go and solve for anything, if you short ship, there are damages, there's anything wrong with it, there's probably another week or two in there that I've got to go, by invoice to figure out what's wrong with it. Right. And then you better hope it's not your side and it's everything's okay. So then what they would say to you is to minimize these, why don't we take an extra percent now?
Or percent and a half, maybe it's 1.5 because you're small, you're high risk.
And so if you give us a 1.5% discount, then we'll just overlook any damages.
If we have to look, if it takes us an extra 4 or 5 days to find it, it's sort of our problem.
Yeah, correct.
That's
nice. It's well. So right now, Kenny and I are living in dumpsters. Because the families have kicked us out because they're afraid that we're going to drag him down with them. We probably have a highly successful brand, no money. We've probably got creditors looking for us everywhere. The bank is probably wondering what the hell's going on, right? But Loblaws is happy though. It's a good thing.
But this is, and I think this is where people, I mean, we painted a pretty doom and gloom story, and I get that. But I don't think people really appreciate. You got to
not really that far cautious. Doom and gloom though.
It's not that far. The unfortunate part is, and that's why when people ask us specifically, so if you're listening and you're asking, this is typically why we say, don't go to the big guys right away. Mm-hmm. Like really think it through. Really think it through. And if you're going to approach a Loblaws, and let's say you are an Ontario-based company, maybe the smarter move is just approach the Fortino side. Maybe you just look at the No Frill side. Maybe you look at DSD, but you don't do it. You phone Mike from Purity, you know, or you phone one of the Neil brothers, and you say, listen, you know what? Can you get us in? Can you help us do that? So some of those things Phil and I've talked about a million times on the show is maybe this is where we use a distributor. And we sort of try to avoid some of these icky things that we don't want to really deal with. You know, there are ways to mitigate some of it. You're not going to get away from listing fees, most likely. It's highly, highly unlikely you're going to get away from listing fees. You are not going to get away from cash discounts. You're not going to get away from a program of some kind. You can get away from fines, but you better be spot on. And this is sometimes why it's probably better to partner with a distributor because they know how to deal with these people, right? So you're going to pay for that. It's going to come out of your margin because you're going to take a little less, but you've also moved the collection issue off your plate because your distributor is probably going to pay you in 30 to 60. They're generally pretty good, right? And they've probably got a decent relationship with the Loblaws and Walmarts. They're probably getting paid 30 to 60. Right. We painted a bad story because, again, as a small guy, you have got no leverage. Net 90 is probably really and truly not out in the world of oh, my God. You might get lucky. You might hit a good buyer, a good day. Everything's lined up perfectly. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get a 130 net 60. Maybe. I don't know. 145 net 60.
Probably not.
I doubt it. Net 60. Yeah. You could probably get maybe.
Yeah. On a new vendor, probably not.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Highly unlikely. These don't have the leverage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You just don't.
Yeah. I think so. And I think this is where.
This is where Sobey, sorry, Tim Drawfield. This is where Sobey said they would be different. So the whole purpose of this conversation was someone like a Sobey's has come out and put pen to paper. Now, hopefully it holds, but they've said, listen, we understand this and we know this is not how to do it. We're going to have nobody left supplying us if we continue to treat our vendor supplier community in this manner. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. I think this is where we do get hot under the collar because I think you look at these situations and you look at you look at the little brands that, you know, really have a chance to be there and be something great, right?
Where's all the fun come from, Phil? The fun doesn't come from Kraft.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from Johnson & Johnson. It doesn't come from Procter & Gamble or Unilever. They've got wicked brands and they got shitloads of money. But the innovation comes from Phil and Ken farting around at a market, coming up with some really cool, funky, spot-on flavors, whether it's a barbecue sauce or a bag of chips or the latest and greatest vitamin or the coolest vegan bar. I don't give a shit what it is. But most of that innovation comes from the little guys, comes from the listeners like Simrit, comes with making cool things, trying different things. And if the first thing you do is you hit a big guy like this, and in essence, you know, without... You know, it's basically a freaking legal raping of a supplier. Like you've completely violated this person completely. Like you've pretty much put them into such a box.
Yeah.
Like how do you expect them to get out of this? So I don't understand what the motivation of retailers is when they do this shit. This is why it was always more fun. That's why we liked working in London. We did the same sort of things that we're talking about here, but we did them in, you know, for because there was legitimate costs in doing some of this stuff, but we typically buried a lot of it, put it back in to help the vendor. You're going to have to do this, guys, because this is part of the game, but this is what we'll do. Let's make this work. Let's get you up and running so that, you know, eventually I'm the buyer. I'm never going to lose. I'll get my money sooner or later. It doesn't always have to be before I even give you a chance to have any success.
Yeah.
It's just such an unfair game. It's just so unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to watch. I think as a consumer,
hard to talk about. Like, I mean, you go through this, it's seriously, we sound like doom and gloom. It is so hard to watch this.
It's hard.
I hate it.
It's also if you get Kenny and I, you know, because Kenny and I talk about it a lot on the show, but we do it in nuances, right? So we're not really nuanced sort of guys, but this one seems to come out that way. If you think of, so we always say, make sure that you've got your costing right. And that is why, right? Because you think of all those costs that we just stacked on top of it, you know, for
barbecue sauces, for nothing.
For barbecue sauce that should probably cost you, like, you know, if your cost to make that product was like a dollar, you're probably, it's probably
at $5.99 retail. If you're at $1.50, you're at ceiling.
Yeah.
You can't go much higher than that. If you get close to $2,
you're
running into problems.
Yeah.
But if you're at $1, $1.50, you think in your head, I've got so much room in here, I should be fine. And yet the scenario we just gave you need to be basically having the supplier give you $3 or $4 per bottle so that you've got a $10 gap because you're never going to make it. Right. Especially when you get into bed with monsters like this who know they've got the power and they know they can do it. Because if you choose not to do this, someone else will.
Yeah. And
they go after the big guys even harder. They may go after Kraft when they come out with 3 SKUs of barbecue sauce at $100,000 a SKU,
$150,000
a SKU.
It's such a game at J&J. Before, we would do the math and figure out what we would want to concede on a SKU.
Right. So what were your numbers typically? Like if you're in a big set, like Tylenol.
But there's two games at play, right? Because for us, we always knew that being a number one, number two player, that as soon as we launch a product, as soon as they know that we're launching the product, they're going to try and knock it off. And so literally cut the window down to what is the last couple of days before we must present,
right? So
we don't miss the planogram. And then you would cut it right down to that. And then you would, like, those 2 days would be like negotiating. It would be presenting. And then it would be like, you know, getting the listing and then, you know, trying to give them as little information as possible so that you bought yourself as much time as possible. Right. It's
right. But it stopped you from doing anything simple, which meant that every product you came out with had to be more complicated than it was worth.
Yeah.
Because you had to make sure that you either had some patent protection time or you had a complexity in there that none of the generics, and generics by we mean anybody who can make a knockoff. I don't care if it's a food or a drug, but where they couldn't do it quickly. It may take them 2 years to find the machine to poke holes in the rapid release Tylenol or whatever it was. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But when you're talking stuff like Phil and I are talking, barbecue sauce is not a complicated commodity, guys.
I know.
They take it to like the kitchen, get some chef to reverse engineers it, and they've got, okay, this is what it is. Now, they may not want to knock off your product. They may not give a shit. It's not worth it to them.
Yeah.
Right. But that chance is always there. Right. And you got to be cognizant of that. And you got to really be careful of the people you decide to partner with. And this is why, like, you know, when you and I talk so much and even to the friends that we have, is there's reasons why we push people into distributors, one, and two, why we really like supporting the independent channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's like, to me, Save On, I'm fine with. Yeah, they're a little expensive, but at least they're relatively easy to deal with. Mm-hmm. In all respects, I mean, this article does mention Loblaws and Walmart a lot. Walmart doesn't have listing fees.
Yeah,
Walmart is just brutally tough on you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't miss a fucking appointment by a minute.
Yeah.
You miss an appointment by, like, you know, into the hour, you are paying. Like, they are really tight on supply chain. Like, there's no nuance in there.
But the only, and I might be, yeah, actually, those that know me would definitely say this about me, is I kind of cut my teeth on the Walmart account. They were awfully terrible to me. I've had some really terrible buyers there. Really tough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really appreciate their sense of analytics as well, right? So,
like, they gave you information at least, Phil. The other one doesn't.
Everything, actually.
The other one doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So if you want to know how your product's doing, how do you know how our barbecue sauce is doing at Loblaws?
Well, let me tell you, there's a data package that you could buy.
What do you mean? Why don't I just phone you? You're the buyer. Why don't I just, Phil, how's it going?
Listen, I've got lots of things to do, so I don't really have time for this. But
Phil, you hop on the fucking computer. It takes 10 seconds. Just look at my SKU. How are we doing?
Well, there are people in our data group that could pull you the information. You sound like a politician. And so, you know.
Okay, so can I just phone them?
Yes, after you buy the package, and then you allot for their time, and then they can pull the package.
But Phil, I just need a 3-second phone call. I got 3 SKUs of barbecue sauce.
Really,
Phil.
Just
three.
Not that simple.
We've been 3 months, Phil. Please,
I know.
I know what it is. You go on the computer. You type in Phil's barbecue sauce. It's going to come up 50 bottles. Just help me out a little bit.
I'm very sorry, but you're going to, like everybody
okay.
else. Everybody
so
else.
So who's
has
the other person
the
that I got to call? I know. Can I buy that? You know what? How about this way? Give me this one now, and I'll buy the data next time.
No, listen, here's what you could do. You can either buy the data from us, or you can go to AC Nielsen, get the data. So if you go to AC Nielsen, and AC Nielsen is this great big syndicated evil data guy. So if you go there, it'll cost you $100,000. Nope, it'll cost you $100,000. So if you come to me, I'll give you the data. It won't cost nearly as much. And you get lost data. Don't worry.
Okay. I got 3 SKUs. What do I have? $500? What? $600? $800? What?
I actually don't know what it costs now.
I think it's about 15 to 20.
What?
Some stupid number like that. Some obscene number.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah. Why? I don't even know why I'm surprised now, but yeah. That's how that conversation goes, actually. It would never like
now. For your listener out there, and if you came to folks at London, folks at Save-On, I mean, Save-On's getting a little tougher, but you could still do it. Any of the independents, an IGA, a Bylow, mm-hmm. a Thrifties, mm-hmm. Probably even a Fortinos, they probably get shit for, but they'd probably still do it. Longos, you could, your buyer will probably give you that information.
Well,
not massively readily. They're going to may have to wait a day because they are busy, mm-hmm. but you can get it.
But like, and London, we always loved London because you could buy the data, and London always, they had the terminals out near the front desk. Right. And so you could go up and pull your own data as well.
And the reason we did that is make you buy it. It was a nominal fee, is because it was safe. You guys from driving us mental. We had to actually do it as buyers. It took time. For a nominal fee, and I don't think we charge like $1,500, $2,000 a year, some stupid number.
No, it was
almost
that nothing.
All day.
It was
like you can pull
nothing.
It all day in, day out
and,
from
and
home.
Quite honestly,
remote.
It was fun to go to London Drugs, right? So you didn't mind it because you probably ran into a buyer. You probably had
you might have gone for lunch,
coffee,
have a coffee, shoot the shit a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe get a little bit more information on how things are going. Like,
and
there
vice
are lots of reasons why you would want to do it, right? So, but.
Those days are, you know, I don't know if they're gone at London, but they're definitely gone in general.
Yeah.
You could do that one time at Shoppers. You could do that one time at Loblaws. Like, those days are just not there anymore.
Yeah, they're definitely not. Yeah. So I think this is, hopefully this is helpful.
Again,
clearly
before
we can
you
talk
say
about
yes
this
to anything,
for a long time.
Oh, we could go on for days. Before you say yes to anything, call somebody like us.
Yeah.
Call, like, go through our guest list. Phone Mike at Purity. Mike will walk you through it.
Mike would be a great guy.
Right? Phone Mark. Yeah. Mark will walk you through it. Yeah. He's a sales guy. He gets it. Dominic gets it.
Yeah.
Fardad would walk you through it.
Yeah.
right? They've all been through it. They all get the game.
Yeah.
Right. But at least they'll tell you why, you know, what to watch the pitfalls and what to be careful with. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and in fairness now, just because we beat the shit out of them all the time, you know, we're getting into Loblaws is actually a pretty good win in Canada. It is our largest grocer. It's, you can do really well with Loblaws. You just really got to understand that game.
Place to do it. That's
all. You've got to understand the game.
Just
gotta, and we pick on them a lot because they just don't help you a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think frustrates the hell out of all of us is that you don't need to be so freaking inhuman. You're a corporation. I get it, but you are run by people.
So the keto brand that I helped, we had to call the buyer back. I had to do it for her because she had no idea what she was
saying. What's she going to say?
So once I explained it to her, she actually hung up on me because she was so upset about it.
Like crying.
And then she called me back. She said, listen, I'm really sorry. She said, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, I just did the math on this. I'm going to be like a couple hundred thousand dollars in the hole.
And out of business.
I don't have that kind of money. Yeah. And I don't know where I'm going to get it. And I said to her, I actually think you're wrong because I did the math too. And I actually think you undercalculated
her number. You're worse than that, just so you know.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
So, which made her even more upset. So we actually wound up calling back and saying, listen, we love the opportunity, but what we really like to do maybe is before we go the full step, we'd like to test in a set of stores. And so the buyer was gracious enough and said, I didn't really get it, right? Like, didn't really get it. It was kind of your prototypical buyer and didn't get it and said, yeah, okay, why don't I give you 150? So they gave us the big box Loblaw stores,
right?
So they gave us 150 stores.
What they charged.
And, you know, so they charged us. So this is 5 years ago. So they charged us 22 grand.
Per
SKU. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, so from what though? Down from
35.
Okay. But I know, but that, thank you. That's a nice savings.
I
but
totally
a $22,000 hit is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I know I got the best, probably 150 stores. I appreciate all of this. That's wonderful. But seriously, that's your help.
Yeah.
So you basically, you didn't throw me into the poorhouse. You just made me move back in with the folks.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better than the poorhouse, but really? So, that's your help?
And we played some games there because I said to her, okay, and she had four SKUs, right? She had four keto SKUs. And I said to her, listen, that's still a lot of money.
Grand.
She was like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. And I said to her, so how do you feel about this? She said, look, like I'm doing, like without Loblaws, I'm actually making profit. With Loblaws, I'm not going to make anything.
No.
I'm going to be behind. And I said to her, well, why don't we do this? So we've got it down to 150 stores now. We've started to shave off your liability. Do you feel comfortable to call them back and say, you don't think you can? She said, no, I don't think so. My take on the buyer is at this point, if I go back with anything else, they're just going to drop me.
Yeah.
It'll be too much hassle. So I said to her, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we go back in a couple of weeks and we'll tell them that we've got complexity with supply chain. Two of the SKUs don't have enough ingredients from our suppliers that we're able to supply the SKUs properly. We are worried about bringing that to you with those complexities. Can we just supply you two SKUs into the 150 stores?
Right.
You know, and she was like, oh, okay. So we did that, exactly that. And then that minimized, that cut down her risk in half again.
Well, that cut her, so now she's down to $45,000 or more or less in listing fees.
Yeah, and then that
now she also gets exposure.
She's in 150 good exposure. Stores. And then the buyer was very, because of the way we positioned it, he was very appreciative, even though we were totally lying, right? He was very appreciative. He said, oh, I really appreciate that. I'm glad you got that kind of guidance. I would have been really angry if you shipped me and then couldn't ship me again.
Right.
And she said, well, you know, this way we feel better that we can be a good supplier for you, right? So
right.
She's doing just fine. She eventually got it down to one SKU. She realized this is all I need, right? Like I need the one SKU in there that has all the common ingredients that allows me to drop the cost.
If she made it, I mean, that's incredible. Because to get to one SKU in a sea of a thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
That's a tough.
Yeah,
tough,
and it does fine. She thinks it could do more, but she is in a weird place now because she has one SKU, so she can't promote it. Right, no. There's just not enough. You know, she can't do anything with it, so it just sits there and it survives. It kind of does like, I think somewhere between 3 and 6 sales per week, right? Per store per week. So it's not so bad. And then, but what she did is because we pared it down and we used the one SKU that has the common ingredients for all the other SKUs, it drives down all of her purchasing costs on everything else. Right. Yeah. So there is a bonus to it, but again, this is, you know, kind of very deliberate. You know,
yeah, that was a lot of thinking through before you got yourself into a hole.
We took lots of risks, right? Like lots and lots of risks, right? Like we easily could have been tossed out at any moment there.
Right. So,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyway, we could go on for days on this one.
Yeah, we really could. Literally.
But we won't. Yeah. I think we killed people for an hour and 15.
We hope this was helpful. And
please reach out. Don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to do something stupid, at least know why you've done it, what you've done, and what you're in for. And then at the end of the day, you know, you make a decision based on whatever you want. I'm willing to do this. I'm spending no marketing money. I need to be in these stores. That's my exposure. No problem.
Yeah.
Just understand what it's costing you.
Yeah.
That's really the name of the game. Yeah. And I don't think people get it, unfortunately. And these guys aren't here to educate. We used to at London, save on wood. Like we used to in the old days of a buyer. And I think the buyers in London are probably still very much that way. There was no problem to say, listen, you're not ready. Here's what you need to do. Here's the things you need to be cognizant of, because we don't want, why put someone out of business? I don't understand why. Like, you sleep better.
My first call at Walmart, I was doing Danone, right? So I'd already been, I knew the Walmart business because I'd done it at Kimberly Clark as a category manager, category development analyst. So drawing planograms, schematics. I've been a category captain, so I kind of knew all the, you know, the inside Walmart stuff. But the yogurt buyer at the time, he took a full run at me on my first day. Like it was literally trial by fire, right? Because he said to me, look, I'm not here to hold anybody's hand. I'm not here, you know, like you better know your shit and you better, like, here's what I'm after and you better be able to deliver this, because I'm not fucking... I'm not here to, you know, cultivate.
I'm not here to help you.
That was a tough account. Like I literally learned, there's an old adage in sales and CPG is they tell you when you go into the buyer, you're a piece of meat. They got to take a pound of flesh first. So you just decide where, you know, just lift your arms, let them take it and then move along. Right. I never understood that. And then, you know, that first year at Walmart, I felt it, you know, every time. Like it, I think I started to develop an ulcer and grind my teeth because of it. Right. Because it's
just too bad. There's no reason for that. There's that you don't have to be.
No, you don't.
You don't have to be that kind of buyer. If you're that power hungry.
Yeah.
Do something else.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me talking. Maybe I didn't care about that side of the game.
I don't think I ever yelled. Like I just didn't look like.
I think I yelled twice in the whole time I was a buyer.
Yeah.
I didn't care. You know, at the end of the day, you were either going to do well or you weren't.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, for the most part, it didn't make me feel any better have people fail. I don't know. I mean, people are trying to feed families, no different than what all I was trying to do.
Yeah, I know.
All we were trying to do is make sure that our stores stayed open and people got fed.
Yeah.
Really, who cares?
Yeah.
It's not personal. Anyway. It's such a vindictive game otherwise.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, we could go on for days on this one. Let's get off this topic. Let's go.
No, let's
call it a night, babies. Call it a night.
We hope you enjoy this. Ping us back if you have any questions. If you think we're wrong, ping us back.
If you think we're full of it, let us know.
Or if you've got a story like this, we'd love to hear it. Even if you want to just pen it and we'll read it out, or if you want to come on the show, we'd love to hear you.
We love having guests on the show. Yeah. So I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Or if you're a small brand that's got some, you know, you're not too sure, and if you don't mind sharing your story. Yeah. Then we'll, you know what, we can play the 1 hour complimentary consult game with you.
Yeah.
And we can walk you through your actual scenario if you want.
Yeah.
You can ask a few things, so you don't want to tell too much, but we can definitely walk you through it so they understand what you're up against. It's going to help other people too. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, buddy.
Buddy boy. You have a happy Easter weekend, because this is Easter weekend. This is Thursday night.
Get lots of rest and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be fine. I'm, like I said, I'm so much better now anyway. I'm just tired, but it's all good in the hood.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, buddy.
Phil, we chat with you later this week, next week, I guess. Okay, man.
Okay.
Ciao, bud.